From the land to Grand Hue University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 21st day of February 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the agricultural energies with Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. Wayne Nelson is out of the office today. Ben Brown will be here from University of Missouri Extension to take a broad look at what might be coming from USDA and their supply and demand tables this week at the Ag Outlook for him, and he has his S&D set as well. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the agriculture weather forecast from Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $6.80.5. That was up 2.75. The May 3 higher at $6.80.5 as well. And December futures at $5.96.5, 0.75 cents higher for the new crop corn. March soybeans at $15.48.75, 21.5 higher. The May beans at $15.44, up 21.75. And new crop November up 12.75, $13.99 a bushel, the settlement price. Bean meal futures at $4.97.70, up $6.70. The bean oil at $62.77, $1.26 higher for the day. Wheat futures soft red down 15 at $7.50.5. The hard red at $9.04.25, down 2.25. Live cattle futures at $165.10, 45 cents higher on the day. The feeders at $186.87.5, 35 higher. And lean hogs for 100 pounds up $3.82.5. to settle at $89.10. Crude oil, $76.26 a barrel, down 29 cents. The cost of diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.77.2. That's about 7 cents higher on the day in gasoline for the RBOB. The wholesale price at $2.62.1, just about unchanged on the afternoon. Taking a look at some of the outside markets, the NASDAQ at 12,118, up or rather down 270 points. The S&P 500 at 4,007, around 80 points lower, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 33,186, down 680 points. Don't forget to sign up because we're just 2 weeks away from the All-Day Ag Outlook. Register online today at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This is our premier event of the year with Illinois Public Media, the Farm Doc team, and University of Illinois Extension. We'll have 10 analysts that you hear regularly here on Illinois Public Media with us, along with the whole of the Farm Doc team, Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions to do the weather, and Mark Cheney of John Deere will be there to talk about food, fuel, fiber, and infrastructure. Actually, automation and artificial intelligence. It should be a great day at the Beef House. The cost is $30. Register at willag.org. Dave Chatterton now joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing to take a look at what's happened in Chicago. Dave, thanks for being with us today.
Todd, good to be with you on the day after President's Day. So it felt like Monday, but we're going to call it Tuesday here for the first trading day of the week.
Indeed. How did the first trading day of the week go? Because there were lots of things that happened as it relates to Ukraine and Russia in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of geopolitics in our markets right now. And, you know, I think you can see that reflected in a backup in wheat today versus a market in corn that kind of went higher. And really the focus in the grains today, more so probably on the situation in South America. You had an ongoing Argentine drought that looks like it's not getting better. In fact, maybe getting worse on top of what was a frost event over the long holiday weekend. Not a huge amount of damage from the frost from what we can tell, but the crop estimates for the Argentine corn and soybean crop continue to work their way lower. Seen a few people also, you know, notable people also lowering their Brazilian estimates just a little bit as that drought creeps into the southern part of Brazil. So overall, a situation where we've been well supported in terms of row crop pricing here and a nice move back towards, you know, what looks like it could be opening up towards and move back towards the highs here in the beans today.
So do you think we could make that move? Because we're sort of on that edge at this point of dropping off a cliff or moving higher.
Yeah, I think we're in a situation here where we, we can go back and test these highs. You had a gap higher opening last night. We walked that back a little bit. We kind of regained some momentum here, during the day session. And I think we can go do that, Todd. Now, how many sales are waiting out there, not only on the part of the U.S. producer in terms of marketing what's left of his old crop or getting deeper into his new crop, but we've also got a fair amount of Brazilian producers who are harvesting good yields in the center and northern part of the country that are going to be looking to hedge those beans and sell those beans when they can. The storage situation and the logistical issues have been kind of well documented there, but those beans are going to need to move, or the Argentine farmer is holding what they can because of their inflation rates and their value of money. And the Brazilian crop, or Brazilian, producer is on the opposite end of that spectrum.
Will soybeans be able to drag, and I don't know whether that's the right word or not, corn along and wheat along with them?
Well, I think it's more so corn, and I think it comes down to an acreage battle right now of, you know, maintaining that acreage base for projection into the spring planting window. We've got the outlook forum later in the week here on Thursday and Friday. It'll give us a little bit of a peek at that. But, you know, when you look at these corn-soybean ratios, even despite the talk of renewable diesel and the plants that are going up, the demand for bean oil, we've seen really since the first of the year, even going back further, that when you run the numbers here, whether you run those in the sense of just looking at the corn futures versus soybean futures, or whether you run in the sense of P&Ls per acres, they both tend to favor the corn here just a little bit. So there's always an acreage battle in play, I guess, this time of the year. We are also setting the final round of the crop insurance spring pricing here this week, as well as the volatility factors that start tomorrow. So a lot of moving parts in the market here this week.
Usually when I talk with you on a Tuesday, it's about the agricultural energy markets. What do we know and what are you watching as it's related to ethanol and crude oil?
Yeah, so kind of the same players here. We have Russia that talked about last week making a 500,000 barrel a day cut. They've walked that back just a little bit here, but we've been a benefactor of what's been a warm winter, particularly in Europe, and our stock situation has improved, whether it's natural gas, whether it's the refined fuels and diesel fuel, or whether it's crude oil. And in doing so, these inventories have built back up to the point where we're good. If you look at, let's say, the heating oil futures or ULSD prices, the last week of January, they were pushing 350, 345, 346. They're now plus or minus 280, and that's with a pretty strong update today that's up about 7 cents. So certainly those inventory situations are being reflected back in there. With ethanol, we continue to kind of get by, but the inventories have grown a little bit, Todd. Producer margins are not real spiffy here, and it looks like we could come up just a little bit short of the USDA's projection in terms of corn use for ethanol. We'll continue to monitor that, but that demand driver in corn is looking just a little bit on the weak side here as we go forward.
Something that I heard about as I was traveling across the state was about a U.S. Grains Council meeting where the expectation there was for ethanol to play a bigger role in the export market as it's related to corn in the coming years. Do you think that is in the offing?
I guess I would say that the general answer is no. I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, you look at the initiatives pollution-wise that are going on in parts of Asia, China, and to a degree, South America. It's possible in short corn years in South America that we could have an export arbitrage or export opening there. I think probably longer term, the bigger opportunity for corn is in the sustained aviation fuel world, where very big push underway to get that fuel worked into commercial channels, and corn oil specifically now becoming a part of that feedstock or being introduced to that. And that could be the, I don't want to call it the second coming of ethanol, but it's certainly something that, you know, will be a longer term factor that lands in the positive column here.
And by the way, I'm looking forward to having you at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 7th day of March, for the All Day Ag Outlook. Should be a great day.
Should be. You can't beat the rolls, right?
You can't beat the rolls and the Beef House meal, and it only costs $30. So those folks who want to join us can. Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing and will join us at the Beef House. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Ben Brown, agricultural economist with Missouri University Extension, and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. Hi, Ben. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, good morning, Todd. Always appreciate the opportunity.
You know, this week, USDA will host its agricultural forum in Washington, D.C. By the way, everybody is invited to that and have been now for a couple of years. It's free virtually. There is a link at willag.org, willag.org, that you can sign up for that. It starts on Thursday morning. However, the very first thing that comes out is the supply and demand figures that they'll be using. Those are out at 7 a.m., maybe 6 a.m. Central Time. I don't recall quite which one at this point, but very early in the morning on Thursday. I'm wondering if you've been thinking about supply and demand tables and what you have in yours.
Absolutely, yep. So this is always kind of the exciting time where we get USDA's first look ahead to the 2023 crop. And the market will trade some of these acreage estimates that they put out as we get ready for the prospective planning report at the end of March, right? So this is kind of the first part in a bid-ask spread, right? USDA is going to put out their expectations, the market will adjust, and then producers have their chance to respond. You know, for me, I look at these two, and we always put out our estimates, or I start working on these all the way back in the fall and continue to update these. So I'm willing to be wrong here and go out and estimate. We do scenario work with this as well, just to kind of provide some different looks. I'm going to start on the supply side, if that's all right. So, you know, if we look at that total pie, I think there's a couple of things when you look at the total available acres out there for you know, just intended use. There's two competing things that happen on the Conservation Reserve program or that working land or that set aside program. We are seeing, you know, more acres transition to a working lands type program that does free them up to some intended uses. But we're also seeing people just re-enroll those acres back in Conservation Reserve, given that, you know, high prices for inputs potentially cause some people some concern, plus just the general outlook. I think folks realize or are under the expectation that prices could be a little bit softer as we look ahead to the next couple of years. So, you know, the acreage pie, I think, will be roughly about the same we dealt with last year. I don't see major changes there. However, I think that when we look at the components at a national level, corn is competing incredibly strong with soybeans, even with higher input cost. The corn picture certainly suggests that in areas where corn and soybeans compete, we could see a little bit more favorable corn, especially in the Western Corn Belt. And then if we look at that cotton and corn mix that we see in the southern part, corn is competing very strongly, even at higher prices again, but those same higher prices are also used on the cotton mix as well. Corn continues to compete very well with them. So I sit here and say I'm anticipating a little over 92 million acres of corn in the picture for next year. That's up from last year, but down from 2 years ago. However, I see the potential for a much stronger yield. I'm not a weatherman, I'm not a weather forecaster, but certainly if we look at the picture and start looking at the potential for, you know, moisture to break us out of this drought, but you know, this drought that we're seeing in the Western Corn Belt, there's potential there for a better growing season as we look ahead to 2023. So growing supply of domestic corn is part of my picture there on the corn balance sheet, but I also have softer use here for our old crop corn. That's going to increase the available beginning stocks for that 2023 corn crop as well. So more production, more beginning stocks, and relatively stable demand, even though it's up on the larger supplies, I think increases our available supplies and decreases prices for corn in 2023. I'll stop there and see if you have any questions, Todd. I went through a lot really quick.
Well, I've got questions. When you add all of those up, bigger ending stocks coming out of the old crop, a bigger supply for the new crop, how close to $2 billion are you for the carryout when we get to the fall of 24?
Actually, really close. I'm at 1.937, so 75 million or 70 million off, basically. Sorry, I can't do quick math. I'm 63 million off. I can't do quick math, but 63 million off there from 2 billion ending stocks. That gets us to a 13.3% stocks to use ratio for that 2023 crop, at least in my estimates for next year. That's up from 10% this year.
Did your exports come back for next year from this year?
Yep, sure do. I have stronger exports largely on a couple of factors, but the biggest factor there being you know, available supplies.
Turn your attention to soybean. What does your supply and demand sheet look like for them?
So soybean supplies remain tight. That's kind of the my main message, if you will. You know, so with 92 million acres, a little bit more than 92 million acres of corn, I've got 87 million acres of soybeans. that probably comes as a shock to some people, probably a little bit on the lower end compared to many estimates. But, you know, so with that and strong demand remaining on the soybean side, my picture for carryout, or at least adding all of it up, my carryout for ending stocks of soybeans for 2023 is 250 million bushels. That gets us to a 5.7% stocks to use ratio. So more supplies relative to use next year than this year is what I'm forecasting, but still remaining relatively tight compared to the corn picture.
So when you look at the total acreage pie, you're right at that 180 million acres that has been, give or take, where things have landed over the last several years. You talked about more corn acres, but really soybeans just kind of lose acres, I suppose, in the South and the West.
Yeah, that's my anticipation, is that in the Western Corn Belt, we see, you know, strong acres of corn taking or replacing and displacing some soybeans, whatever you want to call it. However, I think we could pick up some added soybean acres potentially in the Eastern Corn Belt, places like Michigan, Ohio, Indiana to some extent, from the standpoint that, two things here. Some more precipitation potentially in that planting window that kind of pushes a little bit of that, those late planted acres to soybeans, but then also, you know, double cropped wheat. We've seen some very favorable double cropped wheat performance or financial indexes for that crop. Plus, we have some added wheat acres in places where there is double crop history, if you will. People have double cropped before, or they know neighbors have double cropped. We've seen some increased wheat acres this year, winter wheat acres this year, that I think potentially could pick up some double crop soybeans behind it.
So one of the things that most of the analysts that I talked to, that some of the ag economists from the University of Illinois in the last, 2 to 3 weeks have been talking about, and maybe you're in this camp, is that even more sales than had been suggested, new crop corn sales, might need to be put on the books because of an outlook that is much closer to 2 billion bushels as a carryout.
I would definitely be in that camp. I don't think we'll see much change in the cash price. The local cash price for old crop supplies, let's just say over the next month and a half. I don't think we'll see much change in that cash price, which is probably going to, you know, paralyze is not the right word, but it's probably going to prevent many producers from looking ahead to new crop. And that's where I think we're going to see the action. I think we'll see that new crop and those deferred contracts start to fall over the next, let's just say, month and a half, and continue to fall as we look ahead. So I agree fully with what you're saying and what other analysts are saying. I think that spread, that carry between old crop supplies and new crop supplies, especially on the corn side, is going to widen as we move through the next couple of months.
Will soybean remain strong in that same time frame for those deferred months?
I think so. I really do think that soybean market is much tighter than what was maybe initially thought for 2023. Maybe a little bit better of a yield. Of course, we didn't have a terrible yield of soybeans last year. It wasn't terrible. Sitting, you know, at just under 50 bushels per acre. That's still a pretty good yield for soybeans. So a little bit stronger yield, but potentially, you know, losing a few acres in the Western Corn Belt to corn really tightens that balance sheet with growing domestic demand and, you know, potentially, export picture that, while it's being, you know, will be filled in the later on, I believe, by South American products. Right now, we're seeing an expanded window that's tightening those old crop supplies even further.
Hey, thanks much.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Brown. He is with University of Missouri Extension and FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Have you visited our website yet to check the details of the All Day Ag Outlook? If not, let me give you some of the rundown. Here's the list of folks that will be there. Eric Snodgrass, Gary Schnitke, Bob Ray from Illinois FBFM, Ellen Dearden, Chip Nellinger, Merrill Crowley, Dave Chatterton, Chuck Shelby, all names you should know about. From the Farm Doc team to talk about ag policy, Nick Paulson and Jonathan Kappas. Bruce Sherrick will be there from the TIA Center for Farmland Research. And we'll talk with Kurt Kimmel, Matt Bennett, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzlow, and Greg Johnson, along with Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen. Renewable fuels and price outlook are on our list to discuss. And Mark Cheney of John Deere will be there to talk about food, fuel, fiber, and infrastructure. You should be too. Sign up today. The cost is just $30 online at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The All Day Agricultural Outlook is a production of Illinois Public Media, University of Illinois Extension, and the Farm Doc team in the College of ACES. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the weather forecast in the short term, because some things are happening in the United States. For instance, tomorrow here, a lot of rainfall, but I think there's a whole bunch of weather that's coming with this system. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, for the first time this winter, we could actually say we're going to have a winter storm go coast to coast. And we've got winter storm warnings and watches in effect that go from Washington and Oregon all the way to Maine, as the northern tier of this developing storm is going to produce a lot of snow. All of South Dakota, most of Minnesota and Wisconsin are looking at 1 to 2 feet of snow. This will affect parts of Nebraska, parts of the Rockies, and could even have snow in the foothills above San Francisco before the week's over. So there's a lot of winter weather, but it's bottled up along the north. The warmer air on the south side of the system is going to bring mostly rain to Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, parts of Missouri. There could be a half inch, inch and a half of rain in some of those areas. Now, there might be a little bit of frozen moisture in there, but it's going to be heavier up north. But it's really a storm of contrast, because there will be places in the southeastern United States, places like Georgia, Florida, into the 80s, while there will be temperatures nearing 25 to 30 below in the Dakotas. So you're talking about 100 degrees difference between those two regions. So a pretty intense storm system with lots of different weather on it.
Once the snow is on the ground, do things change to get it to melt? Does it melt quickly? Does that create flood problems, or does it stay cold in those northern climes?
Well, those northern climes are going to stay cold, and that snow cover is going to make a difference. And we just took a look earlier today at the new European modeling that tries to forecast 6 weeks in advance. And one thing that keeps coming up is a persistent pattern of colder and stormy weather for those northern plains and for the western states, while warmer conditions will continue in the southeast and the east. So we're going to need to keep an eye on those northern plains for maybe winter that's going to hang on longer than people want.
Thank you much. We'll check with you again next week to see how things are going.
Sounds good.
That's Don Days with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media, online at willag.org, where today you can still sign up for the All-Day Ag Outlook. It is now 2 weeks away, just 2 weeks away at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Please do join us, but get yourself registered. The cost is just $30 at willag.org.